Passage from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be reading beginning in verse 16 through verse 20. I would encourage you to turn there to follow along as I read. And as you're turning, let me just thank you again for the opportunity to come and share with you from God's Word. We were here when Matt was installed as your pastor, and are glad to be able to be back with you again this morning. We are Mission to the World missionaries in Cherokee, North Carolina. And my wife reminded me as we came in this morning, she said, "Do you realize that today is exactly 3 years ago that we moved to Cherokee?" So 3 years ago today, God brought us from Newberry, South Carolina, where I was pastoring a church. He brought us to Cherokee, North Carolina to serve Him as really as church planters there in Cherokee. Our goal in being in Cherokee is certainly to spread the gospel, but also to plant a PCA church there on the reservation. So one of the things that we would ask you to pray for us in that light is that in just a few weeks, on June 5th, the first Sunday of June, we are planning to hold our first worship service in Cherokee. So pray for us that God would bless that work. Pray that God would draw people together. It's not us that's there to draw people together. It's God who calls His people together to worship. And through the preaching of the Word, through the teaching of the Scriptures, that God would draw men and women to Himself and that He would establish a PCA church there. But at 10:45 on June 5th is when we will begin our first worship service. So please pray for us as we move toward that end. You know, church planting is completely different from going to a church that is well established and has been going on for many years. And so in many ways, this is a brand new thing for us. I pastored for 20 years before going to Cherokee, but this is a whole new ball game. So we would appreciate your prayers for us. But again, thank you for allowing us to come. And let's turn our attention now to God's Word. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16, we have those verses that are known. We know them as the Great Commission. And this is God's word. It is His holy and inerrant word. It is that which He has given to us as a rule for faith and for life. Hear now the reading of God's word, beginning in Matthew 28, verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's ask God's blessing upon His word today. Father, we ask now that as we turn our attention to the preaching and the hearing of Your word, that You would again give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive the truth of Your word. Father, challenge us today through Your word. Move us forward in our relationship with You, that we might grow and mature in that relationship, that we might be used in greater ways to serve You both here and to the places where You may call us in the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this morning, I want us to think about the goal of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is usually that passage of Scripture that we turn to when we think about evangelism or telling the church that one of the great things of the church or one of the greatest tasks of the church is to evangelize the world. But as we think about evangelism and as we think about the Great Commission, what I want us to think about more specifically this morning is, what is the end goal of evangelism, or what is the end goal of the Great Commission. What is it that Christ wanted his disciples to accomplish, or what is the purpose for giving the Great Commission first to the disciples and then to us as the church, as the body of Christ today? What are we supposed to do with the Great Commission? I propose to you this morning that the end goal of the Great Commission, or the end goal of evangelism, is not to see people saved. The end goal of evangelism is not to see people saved. Certainly that's part of the goal, but that's not the end goal. And that's what I want us to think about this morning as we think about what it is that is the end goal, what Christ wants for us to do, what he wants us to accomplish. You know, seeing people come to Christ is a worthy goal. But if we stop there, we've only accomplished part of the task. If seeing people saved is all that we do, we've only accomplished part of the task. Consider this scenario. A pastor at the end of his message invites people to bow their heads and close their eyes. And he says, I want to call you to put your faith in God. I'm urging you to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time in your life. And let me be clear, I'm not inviting you to join the church, but I'm inviting you to come to Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you would say, that's good? That's good. People are going to come to Christ. But I believe that there's something missing and something wrong with what he said. You see, to ask people to make a commitment to Christ without also asking them to make a commitment to his church, to his body, is not correct. When we call people to come to Christ, when we invite people to come to Christ, we must understand that there is something more that needs to happen. Christ tells us that as we take the gospel to those who are without Christ, those who are lost in their sins, as we take the gospel to them and as we invite them to receive the gospel, to come to Christ as he's calling them, as he's drawing them to himself, that if we stop there, we're only doing part of the job. Because you see, it is as people are enfolded into the church, it is as people are brought into the body of Christ, as they become members of the body of Christ, that they hear the solid preaching and teaching of God's word. It's as they get involved in Sunday school classes and Bible studies and other things, the other ministries that the church has to offer. It is only then that they grow in that relationship with Christ. And it is then that they mature in their relationship with Christ. And it is only after they do that that they in turn become those who go out into the world and share the gospel message and again invite others to become a part of the body of Christ. You see, I believe the end goal of evangelism, the end goal of the Great Commission, is not just seeing people saved, but it's bringing people into the church to be a part of the body of the church. The end goal of evangelism, the end goal of the Great Commission, is to build the body of Christ, to grow the church through bringing in those who have come to know Christ because of the sharing of the gospel. Let's think about this as we look at the Great Commission. Say, okay, that's what you've told us. Now show us where the Great Commission says that. Jesus says to the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, The Christian life is not all about me, and it's not all about you. God does not call us to Himself. He does not redeem us through Jesus Christ simply for us to come in and to sit and listen and then do nothing with what we've learned and with what we've heard. God commands those who come to faith in Christ to go out and to be witnesses for Him to those in the communities, in the workplaces, in the schools, wherever it may be, that God opens doors and gives you opportunity to be a witness for Him. God says you are to go and you are to be that witness. You are called to go out to others. Jesus told the disciples, and thus He's telling us, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." You see, we as Christians, every one of us, has been given a task and a responsibility, and that is to be a witness for Christ. I think too often, and perhaps it's not here, hopefully it's not here, but too often in the church, we get the idea that the one that has the responsibility for doing that is the man that gets paid by the church to do that. That the pastor's the one who's supposed to go out and he's supposed to preach the gospel and he's supposed to take the gospel to other people and bring them in. But that's not true. Because you see, there are times when you will have greater opportunity as a church member to reach those that you have daily connections to, those that you work with, those that you're in organizations with, those that you may see in the grocery store on a regular basis, those perhaps that you go to school with, wherever it may be, there are those who will not listen to what a preacher has to say for various reasons, but they will listen to you. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a theological degree in order to share the gospel. It simply means that when you share with people, you share with them what God has done in your life. And perhaps they're going through something that you have been through, and you can relate to them and you can share with them how God carried you through. And it says God gives those opportunities, and as God opens those doors for relationships, that you begin to tell them about this man called Jesus, about what He's done for you and what He can do for them. We are called to go into all the world and be witnesses for Christ. And it's a command. Jesus doesn't give us the option. He doesn't say, you know, if you feel like it, this is what I'd like for you to do next. It's an imperative command that He gives to the disciples, and He gives to us. And He's promised to give us the necessary strength. He says to us, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And at the end of the passage, He says, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Not only does He promise to give us what we need as we go out and share the gospel, He promises never to leave us alone as we're doing it, but that He is always going to be there with us. Again, it's not just a call to evangelists or church officers or the pastor, but it's a call to everyone. Think about this. Isn't it true that Jesus Christ alone is worthy of the worship, the praise, the faith, and the obedience of His people? Think of what Christ has done for you. If Christ did nothing more for you than to redeem your soul, to pay the penalty for your sin, and to satisfy the wrath of God on your behalf. If he did nothing more than that, we would owe him endless gratitude and praise and worship and obedience. But isn't it true, certainly for those of you who have walked with Christ for a number of years, isn't it true that you could testify to the goodness of Christ in your life? Oh, and that testimony, what a tool it is that God would use to give you opportunity to be a witness for him in various places around the world. And Jesus says, as you go, make disciples. As you go, make disciples. Now listen, making disciples is not the same as making converts. And this is where I believe we come to understand that the end goal of the Great Commission is not just seeing people saved. Jesus says, as you go, make disciples. You see, the mind as well as the heart and the soul must be one to God. A disciple is not just a convert to a certain truth. He's a pupil, he's a learner. In fact, one definition of a disciple is that he is a born-again Christian who is living a balanced Christian life and is productively engaged in a ministry in and through the local church. Did you pick up on that definition? He is living a balanced Christian life. How many of us, outside of the body of Christ, outside of the solid teaching of the church, would be able to learn what it means to live a balanced Christian life? You see, God never called us to be lone rangers in the ministry. But he called us to be part of a body so that we might be taught, that we might be trained, that we might be equipped for doing the work of ministry. And that only happens in the context of the local church. And then as a convert learns and grows and matures, he or she becomes involved in the ministry, a productive member of the local body of Christ. You see, as we take the gospel to men, it's necessary for sinners to learn about their lost condition. How many of us, apart from the gospel, would understand what our true condition really is? You know, I used to think, quite honestly, before I became a Christian, you know what my thought was? And I was 18 years old, I was in my first year of college. And my thought was this, you know, I'm only 18. I got some things I need to do, and then eventually I'll get my life cleaned up. Then I'll start going to church. Maybe I'm the only one here that's ever felt like that. But isn't it true that it's God that takes our life and God that changes our heart? We're not promised tomorrow. And by God's grace, he called me to himself and he redeemed me. He showed me how unbiblical and how untrue that opinion is. That it's not up to us, but it's up to him. And I would not have understood my condition apart from hearing the preaching of God's word and the teaching of God's word and someone calling me through the gospel message. It's necessary for us to learn about our condition, and then it's necessary for us to learn about God. You know, I had heard about God. Now, I didn't come from a Christian home. I wasn't raised in the church, but I heard about God. I believed there was a God, but that's all that I knew. I didn't know what God was like. I didn't know what he was about. But it's only as God redeemed me and then drew me into a body of believers where I was able to learn and understand and grow that I understood the greatness of God and my standing before Him. And then it was, even though I was redeemed, it was after I began to grow and really get into the Word that I understood the depth of God's love and His plan of redemption for me. And His plan of redemption not only for me, but for all those that He would call to Himself. You see, learning is an essential part of walking with God. Learning is a necessary part in order for us to mature and to grow and to become the men and women in Christ that He wants us to be. But then once we learn the truth, it needs to be put into practice. Once we learn the truth, it must be appropriated by the heart and the mind and the will so that we abide in the truth. Jesus says that part of making disciples involves teaching them to obey His commands. He says to the disciples, go therefore into all, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. You see, what good does it do for a person to come to Christ or to make a profession of faith in Christ and then go off out into the world all by themselves without ever understanding what it means to live for Christ and to obey Christ? Doesn't Jesus tell His disciples in the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter that this is how they will know that you are my disciples? Because my disciples obey my word. They obey my commands. We can't learn the commands if we've never been taught. And once we learn what those commands are, we need to put them into practice. Because if all we do is listen and learn and then go out the doors and forget even, what good has it done us? How many of you in your life have ever learned something? Maybe when you were in college. You know, when I was in college, I got a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration with a minor in German. Guess how much I've used German since 1985 when I graduated from college? 3 or 4 times, maybe. Guess how much German I can speak today? I can tell you hello, I can tell you goodbye, good afternoon, things like that. But as far as being able to use it to converse or anything else, even to read it, I've lost that ability because I didn't use it. You see, if I had kept up with it, if I had kept using it, that would be different. And isn't it the same thing with the truth of God's Word? If all we do is come and sit and listen and then go out the doors and forget what we've heard, what good does it do us? We need to take the things that we hear and we need to put them into practice. And it is as we do that that God takes us and uses us to be His witnesses to those around us. You see, a church is a necessary part of discipleship. Again, apart from the teaching and the preaching of God's Word, we cannot expect to grow in our understanding of God's Word and His commands. You know, in 20 years of pastoral ministry, perhaps you've heard people make these statements too. Well, I don't have to go to church to worship God. Well, I can worship God out on the golf course. I can worship God in the woods or out in my boat fishing. Can you really? If you're out on the golf course, are you focusing on God? Let me tell you, when I'm sitting in a boat with a fishing pole in my hand, you know what I'm focusing on? Getting a fish on the other end of the line. I'm not focusing on God. It's only when we come together as the body of Christ for corporate worship and our hearts and our minds are turned toward the God who loves us, who redeemed us, who called us to be His own, as we come together to meet with Him, it's then that we grow. It's then that we begin to understand who we are and who He is and what He expects of us. We are called to be a part of the body so that we can become disciples ourselves. The end goal of evangelism is to build the church. It's to build the body of Christ. It's not just to see people saved. You know, I'm not against crusades. I'm not against evangelists going out and holding crusades and people coming in and preaching the gospel. But I have read the statistics over the years, and there's a very, very small number of people who go to the front at the end of a crusade who are ever followed up on and ever become full members of the body of Christ by becoming members of the church and grow in their relationship and have a living and active relationship with Christ. My fear is that there are many, many more who have a false sense of salvation because they never understood what it truly means to be a follower of Christ. The end goal is seeing people enfolded into the body of Christ, being part of a church and within the body of Christ, learning what it means to live in community, learning what it means to live out our Christian life in the context of a church family. Peter writes, "As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house." Let me ask you a question. If each one who is a part of the body of Christ is a living stone, and that God is taking those living stones and one upon another, He's taking you, just like the bricks of these walls are laid one upon another until the walls are formed. If God is taking each one who is a part of the body of Christ here at Story Memorial, and He is building you into a house, into the body of Christ, how effective is a brick or a stone that's out over there by itself somewhere? Does one brick, does one stone build a house or make a house? Certainly not. And so it is with the believer, that if we want to be part of what God is doing, if we want to be part of that body in the building up of the church, we need to be a part, one of those bricks, one of those stones that's stacked one upon another until God completes His work. And He finishes with the last stone, with the last brick, in building His body and calling men to Himself. How precious is the great commission that's been given to us. To go out into all the world, to tell them the truth of the gospel, to call men to Christ, to call men to repent of their sins, to call men to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ and to recognize Him as their only hope of salvation. We, folks, the church, the body of Christ, is the only body that's given that word to take to those who are lost. And it's our responsibility to do it. But oh, how much more precious it is to see one who comes to know Christ, to come into the church and to become an active, living part of the body of Christ, to get excited about ministry and to be excited about going out and telling others then of the truth that they have discovered for themselves. The end goal of evangelism is for the building up of the church. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. You see, we want to see people become founded, to see them growing, to see them living and serving in the context of the church. So as you serve Christ here in Marion, North Carolina, as you serve Christ in the community where you live, as you serve Christ in the community where God has planted this church, go out and make disciples. Go out with the message of the gospel and call men to Christ. But as you do so, don't stop there, but encourage them, invite them, bring them here to become a part of the body of Christ, to grow together with you, to become a part of those building blocks, those stones that God is going to use to continue building His church here in this place. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you.